Will you turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 2? Next few weeks, I will teach you Daniel chapter 2 and so forth about the life of Daniel. Do you have your Bibles with you? Daniel chapter 2. I will teach you, by the grace of God, how to study the Bible. How to apply lessons in your life from Daniel. Are we ready? You have your Bibles with you? Okay. If you don't have your Bibles, ask your neighbor to lend you their Bibles. If you don't mind, let us all stand up. Daniel chapter 2. Why do I like you to turn to the book of Daniel? So that you will know the Bible. You will know where it is found. At home, you can underline the Bible. It's good to have your Bible with you. Let's read verse 1. Everybody? Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. The king gave orders to call in the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. Daniel 2 verse 3, the king said to them, I had a dream. My spirit is anxious. I am worried to understand the dream. The Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation. Read the next verse. The king replied, the command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream, its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb. Your houses will be made a rubbish. My goodness, the king is asking the people not just to interpret his dream, but to tell him what is the dream. Read the next verse. If you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts, reward, great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream. And number two, its interpretation. They answered a second time, let the king tell the dream to his servants. We will declare the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain you are bargaining for time. Read the next verse. If you do not make that dream known to me, there is only one decree for you. You have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, that I may know that you can declare to me the interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can declare the dream for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult. There is no one who can do this, except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. Wrong theology. Verse 12. Because of this, the king became angry, indignant, gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. They looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. My goodness. Do you want to know the end of the rest of the story? All right, let's pray. Father God, will you speak to us? Will you teach us your words? And more than that, we pray that you will give all of us a humble heart, that we will learn from you. We thank you for Nikki, how at a young age you have introduced her to you, and how you have brought her back to follow you and to serve you in Sunday school. We pray for faithful people like Nikki, that they will be willing to serve you in whatever capacity. We pray for volunteers, that they will join the Sunday school ministry. We need hundreds, hundreds and hundreds of volunteers for Sunday school. Will you be the one to speak to us? And Lord, we pray for this country. We pray especially for the president, that you will give her wisdom, and all the leaders of this country, that they will know what to do. We commit to you this country. Have mercy on this country. Give us grace. And we pray that you will superintend. You will give us honest leaders who will hate corruption. Honest leaders who will do what is right. Honest leaders who will really love this country and serve your people. I now pray for your people here today, that you will be the one to encourage us. You will be the one to help us realize how much you love us. and how you long to bless us. And more than that, transform our lives for your glory. I now commit myself to you. Teach me what to say, what not to say. May the words that come out of my mouth be honoring and glorifying to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How do you like to work in a company whose president is King Nebuchadnezzar? The truth is, some of us don't like our job. Some of us don't like our work environment. Can I tell you? If you feel like you are pressured, if you have problems in your company, my friend, listen to me. You don't know what real problem is. You know why? It's one thing to work in a company that is very stingy. They don't pay your salary on time. That's bad. It's another thing to work for a company that you don't get salary increases. That's bad. To work for a company that threatens you with a boss to shout at you, that's bad. But to work for a company wherein if you don't meet your quota, they will kill you, that's awful. And then to work for a company, they will not only kill you, they will destroy your houses. That's Daniel chapter 2. Now, do you like to work for a company like that? I want to teach you something. Continuation from last Sunday's message. What was last Sunday's message? Faithfulness is the key to what? True success. Faithfulness to God leads to what? True success. What do you mean by faithfulness? Faithful. We learned last week, faithful in little things will lead to success in bigger things. Amen? You learned this last week. Look at the book of Luke. Luke 16. Everybody, read this. He who is faithful in what? In the little things will be faithful in much. He who is faithful, he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. May I advise all of the businessmen people here? If you are the president of your company, you look for what? Faithful people. Be careful of very smart people that are not faithful. If a man is not faithful, he will not have character. He will not have integrity. You must look for faithful people. God looks for faithful people. He tells the disciples, if you are unrighteous in a very little thing, you are also unrighteous in much. Let me ask you, are you faithful in the little things of life? Do you do what you tell your family you will do? If you tell somebody, I will be there at 8 o'clock, do you show up at 8 o'clock? Or do you show up the following day? Do you work on time? Do you give extra? If you are a student, do you submit your assignments on time? Do you go to your class or do you cut classes? If you are a husband, are you faithful to your children, to your wife? If you are not even faithful in your family life, how can you be faithful in the big things of life? What are the big things of life? Read the next verse. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, God is saying, if you are not even faithful in the area of money, how will God entrust to you through riches? I am discovering money, material possession are not true riches. They are temporal. True riches is something that are eternal. Let me show you the context. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Everybody read. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. The Bible tells us, someday, as we all stand before God, you pray for me. That the Lord Jesus will speak to me and tell me, Peter, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will now put you in charge of what? Many things. Enter into the joy of your master. What are the rewards of true faithfulness? Number one, more responsibilities. God is saying you have been faithful in the little things. I will give you more responsibilities. You see, faithfulness to small things, and God will entrust to you more things. But not only that, another reward is joy. Someday, God will let you experience greater joy. You see, many people don't understand eternity. They think after they die, everything is finished. And that is not true. This talks about the second coming of Jesus. When we all stand before God, and He tells us, you have been faithful in the little things on earth, I will now give you more responsibilities. So my friends, there will be a difference someday between Christians who are faithful to God and Christians who are not faithful to God. Are we communicating? Coming to Jesus is by grace. We are saved by grace. But after you are saved by grace, God expects you to be faithful. Because there is more work to be done in eternity. This morning, you will learn about that. In the meantime, what can we learn from Daniel? In chapter 2, you learn, number 1, Daniel was faithful in spite of the hostile environment. That's number 1. You read that together with me? Daniel was faithful to God in spite of what? Hostile environment. Number 2, Daniel was faithful to God. You know why? He prayed through prayer. And number 3, what can you learn? Daniel was faithful to God because he wanted to honor God. You see, faithfulness can be a very vague concept. I want to make it practical. Number 1, you be faithful regardless of your environment. Daniel lived in a lousy environment. The boss was crazy. Can you imagine the boss telling Daniel, oh, what's my dream? Can you do that? What's my dream? The boss was very smart, but the boss was tyrannical. The boss knew if he tells people the dream, the people can make mumbo jumbo. You know, you can guess, ha, ito po ang dream. Have you been to this fortune teller, which I don't recommend, but in the past, you go to this kind of soothsayers. They can give you stories. You know what? Let me see your hand. Ah, wow. You will meet somebody very nice. Of course you meet somebody nice all the time. The king is very wise. Don't tell me the interpretation. You tell me my dream. Okay. What's my dream? Ah, you cannot tell me my dream? I'm going to kill you. Do you like to work for a company like that? Horrible environment. What did Daniel do? He didn't run away from problems. He didn't run away from the king. You know what he did? Look at your Bible. Daniel chapter 2. Because I love all of you, I will give you mercy again. I will show you the verse. Daniel chapter 2 verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was so troubled, his sleep left him. Tell me, why do people have insomnia? Why can they not sleep? Answer, because of worry. When you worry, when you are anxious, you cannot sleep. What does that tell you? Listen to me. Daniel was face to face with a wicked, tyrannical king. This king had power. This king had a great army. This king had absolute control of his country in his mind. And yet, he cannot sleep. What are you learning? You can have money, but no peace. I realized Nebuchadnezzar had everything except peace. He cannot sleep. He was so bothered. Can I tell you why? Even his army cannot give him security. Nebuchadnezzar with a mighty army, he is not secure. That's why he's worried. So what can you learn? Listen, you can have everything and not have peace. You know why? Peace comes from God. If you are not secure, you will not have peace. What's so amazing is Daniel had peace. Daniel was about to be killed, understand? Now, how do they kill you during the time of Nebuchadnezzar? Not chopping your head. He said, I will tore you limb to limb. What does it mean? He will use horses to pull you. Right hand, left hand, the leg until your body what? Ah, no more hand. But you're dead, you know. But you're alive for a while, okay? You know why you're alive? Because you have no more hand. You will just be bleeding, but your heart is still pumping. But no more hand. Agonizing death. But it's still simpler than crucifixion. Because you will die immediately in a short time. Your blood will come out and you die. In crucifixion, you die after so many days. For some people, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. For some people, even 1 week. You're hanging on the cross. But for Nebuchadnezzar, this guy had no peace. So what did Daniel do? Let's look at the Bible. Are you ready? What's number one? Daniel was faithful in spite of what? His environment. Let's look at what he did. Turn your Bibles now. Let's jump. You have read verse 12, 13. Let's go to verse 14. Everybody, read. Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men. Verse 15, everybody read. He answered and said to Arioch, "Boshing, for what reason is the decree so urgent?" You know, Daniel did not run away from Arioch. See, Daniel wasn't afraid of problems. He went to face Arioch. Amazing. Read the next verse. Daniel went in and requested of the king. He decided to see the king. You see, if you are faithful to God, you will have courage. Daniel wasn't afraid of problems. He decided, I'm going to be faithful even in this situation. He wanted to help the king. So he said, give me time and I will declare your dream and interpret it for you. You know what he did? Read the next verse. Daniel returned to his house, explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. He urged them to pray, to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed. Friends, what can you learn? The reason why you can be faithful in the midst of trials is because of prayer. I don't know about you. Every time I make resolutions, I have a tendency to what? Have you made New Year's resolution? January 1, New Year's resolution? What did you do by January 5? We are weak. We have all kinds of resolutions. You know, I like to be like this. I want to be faithful. But you don't have power. You need to learn how to pray. I want to show you two circles. In life, you have two circles. Look at the projector. The first circle is called the circle of control. The second circle is called the circle of concern. The Bible wants you to be faithful in what is within your control. What is the meaning of control? What is the meaning of concern? In your life, there are many things you are concerned about. But they are not within your what? Control. There are a few things in life that you are in control. Those things, you must be responsible and you must be faithful. What is outside your control, you leave it to the Lord. Let me give you an example. Is the Philippine government within our control? Is the president, the cabinet members, are they within our control? Louder. No. Is your boyfriend under your control? Is your husband under your control? Is your wife under your control? This is where we mess up. We think they are under our control. No. You are concerned for your husbands. You are concerned for your wife. But can I tell you something? You do not control your husbands or your wives. If you don't believe me, ask these married people. And they will tell you, before I married him, I thought I controlled him. After I got married, I lost control. Can I tell you why? The truth is, you and I waste our energy on the circle of concern. You waste your effort in trying to control the things that you worry about. But they are not under your control. You cannot do anything about it. Some of you think you control your family members. Can I tell you something? Even my own children. They are called my circle of concern. When I talk to my children, I get down on my knees when they were young. I am not a dictator. I speak to them as adults, as friends. I have the authority but I treat them with respect. Can I tell you why? To this day, my children listen to me. Not because I force them, but they have learned to trust me. Parents who are too controlling, you produce rebellious children. Parents who try to control everything, you will produce problematic children. Because you have to realize those are areas of concern. You pray for them. You be an example. What are the things under your control? Tell me. Look at the chart. What is within your control? Yes, my friend is pointing. Yourself. You are responsible for your decisions. Because the only thing that's within your control as of now is what you do and how you decide. Am I correct? What happens to me is beyond my control. What happens to me outside is beyond my control. But what happens inside my heart, inside my life, is within my control. So I'm responsible to forgive people. I'm responsible to love people. I'm responsible to be faithful. That is what I have control. But how others will treat me, how others will react to me, they are beyond my control. And I've seen many Christians, we waste our energy, you waste your effort in trying to change people. May I suggest something? You focus in being faithful with your own life. Let me give you a test. How many of you are faithful in waking up in the morning to read the Bible, to study the Bible? Please don't raise your hands, okay? But just look at me in the eyes. How many of you are faithful in the area of spending time with God? In obeying God from your heart? You know that is what God wants you to do. And you are doing it. Can I tell you, my temptation to become unfaithful is when what I want to happen does not happen. Like Daniel. Daniel was once a noble. Remember Daniel chapter 1? He was rich, handsome. And now he became a victim. He had to travel 500 miles to Babylon to be a prisoner. And now he is serving this tyrant. You know what Daniel could have done? This is lousy. Being faithful to God is useless. I will just compromise everything. I'm just going to run away. Am I correct? What have we learned about faithfulness? A faithful person, you are learning something. Does not run away from problems. You learn to face it. You must be willing to be faithful even in the most hostile environment. Some of us, we keep running away from problems. You are into denial. Please, do what you can with what you can. What you cannot control, what do? You pray. You lift it up to the Lord. And then you be faithful within what you can control, and God will expand your circle of control. The more faithful you are to God, the more He will give you responsibilities. Your circle of control will become bigger and bigger. Some of us are not faithful in the little things. We give excuses. We blame the circumstances. We blame the environment. We blame our parents. We blame the government. We blame people. But we refuse to accept personal responsibility. Let me ask you, what are you doing about the Philippine situation? May I suggest you ask yourself. Pray. Don't say prayer is useless. I want to tell you, the power of prayer, all right? Look at what Daniel did. And then do something. Do something. And how do you do something? Be faithful with your responsibility. Pay proper taxes. Be productive. But that's not the topic today. The topic today is faithfulness to God. So look at the next verse. Daniel chapter 2. Look at his prayer. Daniel prayed. Let's look at his prayer. He asked his friend to meet him. What is that? Is Daniel chapter 2. Let's go to verse 17-18. Daniel convened a prayer meeting. Who were his prayer partners? Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Let me ask you, do you have prayer partners? I praise God for my D12. If I have a problem, I text them. Boom, 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 boom. Our D12, we will pray together. I have a group of pastors and men that I'm accountable to. We pray together. What about you? I pray you become part of a small group. Do you believe in group prayer? You know, if you pray alone, wonderful. But if you learn to pray together as a group, it's even more powerful. Do you come on Dawn Watch? Please, please. Just look at me in the eyes. You know why I believe in coming together during Dawn Watch? You learn to pray. Prayer is not talking to God for 5 minutes. It's not talking to God for 10 minutes. Prayer is pouring out your heart. You learn to pray. During Dawn Watch, we teach you how to pray. The message is about prayer. And we give you lots of time to pray. Look at Daniel. His lifestyle. He believed in prayer. He asked God to have mercy. He asked God to help him. Look at the book of Daniel, chapter 7 or 6. Let's look at chapter 6. Everybody read. When Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Alright? What did he do in his house? The Bible tells us. He continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God. Underline the word, as he had been doing what? Previously. What was the document signed? The document states, from now on, if you pray, you will be killed. The Bible says when Daniel knew that the document forbidding people to pray, he decided to continue what he was doing. He decided to pray because Daniel was faithful to God. Therefore, he was not afraid of men. If you are not faithful to God, you will not have peace and you'll be afraid of men. Can I tell you, for Daniel, prayer was not optional. For him, it is his life. He prayed, even though he will be killed. He kept on praying. Now, let me ask you, how's your prayer life? Is it optional? You know, some of you are going through life, really, but you are not serious in your prayer life. You know what? You can get by. Sure, you can survive, but you are missing out a lot. You are missing out on the supernatural life that God wants you to have. Friends, if you believe in prayer, you will pray. Can I tell you the story of one of our members? He came from China, and he decided to visit the United States. When he went to the U.S. Embassy, he had no passport. You know why? He was a refugee. The only piece of paper he had was a refugee certification. He is a refugee, a legitimate refugee. So in the U.S. Embassy, they interviewed him. Why do you want to go to the States? Well, there's a Christian conference. Then there's going to be another conference in Canada. Where's your passport? I don't have a passport. What's your citizenship? Well, I'm from mainland China. I'm staying in the Philippines. What's your status? Refugee. You know, the commissioner the immigration officer had a hard time understanding his English. Because his English is what we call chop suey English. So, the officer left him, went to the back room, and brought out another guy, the higher up. Now, the higher up is an amazing man. He speaks Mandarin. And he spoke to this man in Mandarin. And after speaking, he said, so you're a Bible Christian. You're like a missionary. Now, they understand why some of them have to be here as a refugee. He said, okay, if you know the Bible, tell me. What is the teaching of the Bible? Tell me. In Chinese, okay? So the guy explained. The theme of the Bible. God so loved the world. Except we have a problem. Sin. We have rebelled against God. The world is a mess. So he gave them the theme of the Bible. God sent for Jesus. You know, the officer was impressed. The officer said, okay, since you know the Bible, you memorize for me a chapter of the Bible. Your favorite chapter. Memorize. He memorized Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still water. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The officer said, okay, wait. So he went back. Did something with his paper. And then, Another piece of paper, gave it to him. Here, you can leave. He was so nervous, he didn't even read. He went to his apartment. Then he opened the document. He was given a 10-year visa. My friend, you want to get a visa to the States? Pray and memorize the Bible. This guy believed in prayer. He believed in the God who answers prayer. You see, nothing is impossible because there's a God who is alive. And your problem, my problem is we don't persevere in prayer. We pray a few times and then we give up. We have problems. We get angry at God. We stop praying. The reason why you get angry, because you do not know the heart of God. Daniel was faithful. You know why? Last week we discovered he knew God. This week, what have you learned? He was a man of prayer. When you pray, you can turn crisis into opportunities. That's what he did. Let's look at how God answered his prayer. I want to show you another example of his prayer life, okay? Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. In the first year of the reign, of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord, given to Jeremiah the prophet, the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Daniel studied the Bible. When he learned from the scripture, the Old Testament, of the book of Jeremiah, what did he do? Look at verse 3. I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him. Underline the word, I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications. Prayer is not just asking God for things. Prayer is seeking God. Friends, your prayer life is a reflection of your spiritual health. If you are spiritually healthy, you will pray. May I encourage you to come on Dawn Watch and pray together? Is that okay with you? Those of you who have been coming, I know why you kept coming. By the way, we have a lot of people coming on Dawn Watch. One of these days, this place will be overflowing. Can I tell you why they keep coming? When you meet God, and when you spend time with God, there's no better joy than being in the presence of God. I have learned a lot in just being silent before God, opening my heart to the Lord. Okay? Now, what happened to his prayer life? Well, God answered his prayer. What did we learn about Daniel? Number one, be faithful in spite of. Number two, be faithful in your what? Prayer life. Okay? That's how you are faithful to God. Regardless of the circumstances, you'll be faithful. Regardless of the problems, you'll be prayerful. That's how you show your faithfulness. And then, number three, being faithful to God means what? You want to honor God. Can I show you how Daniel honored God? Look at his own prayer and look at what he did. Everybody, let's read. Daniel chapter 2, verse 26. The king answered and asked Daniel, "Are you able to make known to me the dream?" Now, after Daniel prayed, he went before the king. The king asked him, "Are you sure you can tell me the dream?" If you were Daniel, what will you say? "Boss, chicken feet, I will tell you your dream." Is that how he answered? No, he wanted to honor God. Look at his answer. Daniel answered, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare to the king." What he's saying is, "King, all the education of Babylon, all the wise men of Babylon cannot do it. No human being can do it." But read the next verse. "However," underline the word, "however, there is a God." Praise God. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. O King, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what will take place in the future. Daniel said, "God reveals mystery." You see, Daniel was evangelizing the king. The king was a pagan king. He used the opportunity to give honor to whom? To God. Do you have problems? I know you have problems. Be conscious of the fact that you can turn problems
to opportunities to glorify God.
Read the next verse. As for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me. What is Daniel saying? It's not because I am good. It's not because I am wise. It's because of God. Amen? Now, are you ready to see the interpretation of the dream? First, let me tell you the dream. This is the dream. Are you ready? All right? This is the dream. This is the most amazing revelation in the first part of the Old Testament. The first time about prophecy, what will happen to world empires. Can I tell you the dream? All right? Let's look at the dream. You, O king, were looking. There was a single great statue. So there was a dream, a big statue. Awesome. The head of the statue was made of gold. He described four parts of the statue. The first is the gold. The second, the breast and its arms, silver. The second. The third part, its belly and its thighs, made of bronze. The fourth part, the legs of iron, feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking on, and then something happened. Until a stone in the dream was cut out without hands. It struck the statue and the feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Read the next verse. Iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, etc., they were all destroyed. And then the stone became a great mountain. Do you know the interpretation? Can I tell you the interpretation now? Are you ready? All right, here is the interpretation. I will show you the interpretation through a graphic picture. This is the interpretation. You see this statue? In that dream, the first head, according to Daniel chapter 2, why don't we read that quickly? Okay, let's read the interpretation quickly. Let's go to the interpretation quickly so you will not think I'm inventing this, okay? So let's look at the Bible. Daniel chapter 2, let's read verse 36, 37. This was the dream. This is the interpretation. 37, you king, you are the head. Verse 38, whatever the sons of men dwell or the beasts of the field or the birds of the sky, blah, 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 you are the ruler. Then, 39, after you, there will rise another kingdom inferior to you. And then another third kingdom inferior to you, which will rule over the earth. Then read the next verse, verse 40. Then there will be a fourth kingdom made of iron, remember? Inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things, it is like iron that breaks in pieces. Except there's a problem. Verse 41. In that you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom. It will be tough. At the same time, it will be weak. Because you have iron and clay mixed together in the 10 toes. Okay? Read the next verse. As the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, some of the kingdom will be strong and some will be weak. In that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine. But they will not exactly combine. They will not adhere to one another. Now, let me ask you, how do you interpret this? Can I tell you something? Daniel could only interpret what is very clear, two things. This would be succession of kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar was the first kingdom. And the last kingdom will all be destroyed by a stone. And that last kingdom is this. Let's look at the last kingdom. In those days, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush, put an end to all these kingdoms. Now let me ask you, do you think Daniel understood the future? He can only understand a little. He only understood, number one, Nebuchadnezzar was the first empire, and then the last empire will be destroyed by the kingdom of God. But today, we live in 2006 AD. When you look back in history, you begin to see how these prophecies are fulfilled. Look at the statue. The first kingdom, if you look at the statue, it's called the Babylonian kingdom. Now, let me explain to you. This is in the context of the Holy Land, Israel. All of these kingdoms has to do with the Holy Land. Because the Holy Land is described as the center of the earth. Why is it the center of the earth? Because only in Israel do you have the land bridge,
that will connect Africa to Europe. You will connect Asia to Europe. The only country in the world, the only Middle Eastern country, that Middle East is so crucial because it is the land bridge of the three continents. Africa to Europe, Europe from Africa to Asia, India, China, it has to do with Israel. Therefore, this prophecy has to do with world power that has to do with the people of God, Israel and Babylon. Number one, world power that will conquer Israel is what? Look at this chart. Babylon. And then the second world power is, as you look back in history, Medo-Persian Empire. Daniel experienced this reality. The third empire is the empire of the Greek through Alexander the Great. And the last empire from 63 BC down is the legs and the toes. Now, we are in 2006 AD. Is this happening today? Look at this chart. Babylon is gone. The Medo-Persian Empire is gone. The Greek Empire is gone. What is the last surviving empire? The Roman Empire. The Bible tells us that last empire is going to be destroyed. But right now, you don't see it being fulfilled yet. Am I correct? You have the revived Roman Empire. What is the revived Roman Empire? Listen to me. In 1957, the Treaty of Rome was signed to create the European Economic Community. A few years later, in 1965, it was signed again in Brussels, the Treaty of Brussels, creating, in their desire, the European Economic Community, this time more political integration, more economic integration. You now have the euro dollar. What is the purpose of all of this, the revived Roman Empire? The purpose is to unite all of these European countries, the remnant of the Roman Empire, into a powerful bloc. They want to remove trade barriers, national barriers, so that it will become a superpower. Is it happening today? Euro dollar is very expensive. Not only that, the Bible tells us they will unite, but they will not exactly unite. You see, today there are 24, 25 countries in the European Economic Bloc, except there are only 10 permanent members. The 10 permanent members, it's called the Western Union, the European Union. These are 10 Western countries. The rest are becoming members. They control the NATO. They control the military aspect of Europe. Their desire is to create a constitution, which was defeated recently in France because the people don't like it. But it's moving in that direction to have one executive president that will govern all of this country. Eventually, one army. What stage are we in today? In the last human stage of history, the revived Roman Empire. Daniel didn't understand this. Many scholars did not understand this. But you and I live at a time when we can begin to see biblical prophecy fulfilled before our eyes. No matter how you interpret this, it doesn't matter. Greek, Persia, Middle East, the Medo-Persian, Babylonian. No matter how you interpret this, you can never miss the last kingdom. What's the last kingdom? Look at Daniel chapter 2. There will be what? The kingdom of heaven. Read this. In as much as you saw, let's read 44 first. Everybody read. In those days, in the days of those kings, those toes. Do you understand the toes? You know, some European countries are strong, some are weak. Iron and clay, they try to mix together. They cannot really mix together. They are always have minor disagreements. In those days, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Those days began in 63 AD down, when Rome took over Israel. Jesus was born when? When Rome came into power. The stone hewn out of the rock without human hands. The kingdom of Jesus is becoming bigger and bigger. Until one day, the Bible tells us, look at verse 44, It will be set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. Meaning, that kingdom is permanent. It is eternal. It will crush and put an end to all those other kingdoms. Can I tell you about the kingdom of men? The kingdom of men will come, they will go. Mao Zedong, come, he will go. Hitler, he will come, he will go. Stalin, he will come, he will go. Marcos, he came, he went. But there is one kingdom that will never be destroyed. And that kingdom is coming. Daniel chapter 7 expanded the vision. Look at Daniel chapter 7. The Bible tells us, I kept looking in the night visions. Behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. He came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Who is the son of man? Jesus. The Bible tells us, to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, men of every language might serve him. Men of every language. European, Asians, Indians, Muslims, doesn't matter. All of the people of the world will serve him. Continue. And men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Now what about you? What about me? What's our role? This is our role. Look at Daniel chapter 7. Continue. Everybody read. The saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. Faithful in the little things. And I'll give you more responsibilities in the coming kingdom. Read the next verse. Daniel 7, 27. Everybody read. The sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. My friend, let me ask you. Are you saints of the highest one? His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. All dominions will serve and obey him. If you understand the book of Daniel, then you will understand better the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, they are like back and front. You need to understand these two books to understand it better. Look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The Bible tells us, the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of men, everybody read, has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And the Bible tells us He will what? He will reign forever and ever. My friend, let me ask you, are we living in the last days? Can I tell you something? That's why I do not fret about world history. Don't fret about government. Because God is responsible for bringing up one leader and bringing down another leader. Because history is under the control of God. And that's why He can predict. God knows the history. And God tells us that day will come, my friend, when Jesus will come. And when He comes, the Bible tells us the saints will reign with Jesus. My question is this. Which kingdom do you belong? How do you know which kingdom do you belong to? Will you ask me that question before I close? As we are about to close, go back to Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, you learn, if you belong to the kingdom of God, and you give your allegiance to your king, and you are faithful to him, he is faithful to you. Look at what happened to Daniel. The king fell on his face and did homage to Daniel. My goodness, he respected Daniel. Gave orders to present to Daniel, offering fragrance incense. The king answered Daniel, your God is a what? Is a God of gods and Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries. You have been able to reveal this mystery. My goodness, the king was almost evangelized. Almost. Not yet evangelized. Head knowledge, okay? Your God is amazing. You know, Daniel gave glory to God. Read the next verse. The king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts. He made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief prefect over all the wise men. Daniel became the prime minister. This is amazing. In Daniel chapter 1, he was a prisoner of war. In Daniel chapter 2, he became what? The prime minister. Read the next verse. Daniel made requests of the king. He appointed Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. over the whole administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was at the king's court. What can you learn? Daniel did not seek power. He was given power. Daniel was not after money. He was given wealth. Daniel was not after position. He was given the highest position. You know why? Because success comes from God. True success is what? Faithfulness to God. Daniel was faithful in the small things. And God said, you know what, Daniel? You are faithful in small things. I will make you faithful in what? The big things of life. Now, let me ask you. Which kingdom do you belong to? How do you know? Very simple. Which kingdom do you belong to? My friends, listen to me. There are only two kingdoms. Yes or no? The kingdom of men, the kingdom of the world, and the kingdom of God. Only two kingdoms. The kingdom of men are temporal. They come and they go. The kingdom of God is eternal. It's a triumphant kingdom. It will conquer all other kingdoms. It's permanent. It's eternal. Let me ask you, which kingdom do you belong to? When you want to become a U.S. citizen or a Filipino, what do you do? You swear allegiance. Am I correct? If you want to become a member of the kingdom of God, what do? You give your allegiance to the king. Who is our king? Who is your king? If you want to be part of the kingdom of heaven, who is your king? Then Jesus. Choose him to be your king. You see, whether you like it or not, he is king. The only question is your allegiance. Do you choose to make Jesus your king? Or do you choose to make yourself the king? If you make yourself king, you are part of the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world is all about self-centeredness. It's all about self. It's all about promoting self. The kingdom of heaven is all about God. It's all about Jesus. Only two kingdoms. This morning, in this room, there are only two kinds of people. Those who belong to the kingdom of heaven and those who belong to the kingdom of this world. And my friend, if you study the Bible, God invites all of us to be part of his kingdom. But you got to make your allegiance clear. Let me ask you, how are you investing your talent? How are you investing your energy? Are you building your own kingdom? Or are you concerned for the kingdom of God? If you are in business, are you very honest in your motivation? I'm in business so that I will expand the kingdom of God. If that's your motivation, live it. But don't you do something and neglect the interests of God. If you are a teacher, be the best teacher because you are serving the kingdom of God. If you are a housewife, be the best housewife because you are representing the kingdom of God. You want to expand the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Therefore, if you don't have that desire to serve the King of Kings, you don't have that desire, it's never too late. Why don't you make a decision today? You pray like Daniel. Daniel prayed. My friends, we need prayer. You say, Lord, maybe I've never known you. Maybe I belong to the kingdom of myself, my own kingdom. I don't know. I don't judge you. But only two kingdoms. The kingdom of heaven is coming. Is this the last stage of world history? My friends, after the fourth empire, there is no other empire left. The stone that is uncut will come and crush all other kingdoms. And we are living at the last stage of human history. I don't know how to explain this any further. And you have a choice. You can believe or not believe. You can take a risk or not take a risk. My advice to you, come before God today and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be part of your kingdom. I want to be a faithful member of your kingdom and I will serve the kingdom of God. My friends, whether you like it or not, God wants us to be faithful. Amen? So will you be faithful to Him? Start thinking, how can I be faithful in a hostile environment? How can I be faithful in my prayer life to expand the kingdom of God? How can I bring honor to the King, to Jesus, in my life today? Will you do that? Let's bow our heads. Will you make your private commitments to the Lord? You tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, I have never given you my allegiance. My loyalty is to myself, to my business,
Today, I will change my loyalty. Starting today, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you. Thank you for opening my eyes that the kingdom of this world is only temporary. That someday all of these kingdoms will be crushed and only your kingdom will remain. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for our sins and you invite us to recognize you as our Lord. And Jesus, we recognize you today as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to be faithful in our prayer life. Help us to be faithful in honoring you in our business, in our work, in our families. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.